Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. It is hour one of your favorite sports program, Canada's only morning sports talk show. I'm your host, Rod Peterson, as the sign says, as the man said. He's your co-host joining us for the rollout here for Flooring Superstore, Darren DuPont. Hi, Dupes.
Hi, good morning.
The Titans must have won yesterday.
They did.
Yeah, that's why you're wearing the gear.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep.
So we're the hosts of the show. I'm Brady. He's Edelman.
Yeah, that's
how's
about
that?
Right. That's
about in
right.
The good times.
And it's the right size,
not,
everything.
Yeah. Not like last night.
No.
Not like last night in week 13 in the National Football League. And as we lift the lid here on hour one of the program, on the program overall, going to just roll through here what we're going to talk about in the rollout. Week 13 in the National Football League, any takeaways you may have. I'll be honest, watching Sunday Night Football last night from Energy Stadium in Houston got me a little excited.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans and the New England Patriots is... now, less than a week away, we're going to be there with our guests on the Rod Peterson Show VIP Sports Trip. That's just going to be fantastic. I've been lining up guests for the show. You've been lining up the show. We'll be doing live shows down there. Awesome. NHL Sunday, the Montreal Canadiens have lost their eighth consecutive game. And there's Abu offset applauding the Leafs fan. We're so far away from Montreal out here. You don't really feel the tremors of the Canadians losing eight in a row.
Yeah.
But that's a lot.
That's a big deal. In maybe the biggest hockey market in the country, or at least top two, it's huge. It's massive. And you know that they're not happy about it on the streets of Montreal.
No.
And it doesn't matter what time of year. They are always talking about the Habs in that city.
So I said to Clark, can we get somebody on to talk about the Canadiens, please? We've been doing a lot of football lately, but it is still a hockey country. And he was working on it. And I'm not sure who we got, but I did find out that Don Hewitt's coming up on the program today. The ageless Don Hewitt of CTV Regina. A man can cover two things specifically. The CFL and the Rough Riders and the Montreal Canadiens. And I said, oh, we're good. We're good. Although we may have some actual NHL guys joining us later on. Oilers won again. Did you see that?
I did.
Atop the conference, the division, 17-9-3.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive what they've been able to do, turning it around.
We've got CFL news that we'll get to today. Tommy Condell has pulled his name from coaching positions in BC, Edmonton, and Ottawa. He's the offensive coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Joining us in the bunker, starting with segment two, is Mike Abumeshrick, Grey Cup champion, 10-year CFLer. Get his take on the CFL news that's out there. We hear that by the end of the week, the Alouettes will name a general manager. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's true or not. I got my thoughts on who it might be. We've also got some news. I've heard that Charleston Hughes has re-signed with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
That's big.
And they're just awaiting for that to be announced. Within the last 24 hours, he's gone under the knife. If you follow any of his social media, you'll see that. He was in the hospital having surgery. I heard late last week that Charleston Hughes has re-signed with the club. They're just awaiting announcing it. So there's your news there. And our poll question today. I'm getting a lot of this about the hockey culture. Are you?
Yep. Tons.
Okay, so I'm not completely off base here.
No, it's everywhere.
Okay.
It is.
It's kind of, now again, I said we're in the Great White North. We've got a lot of viewers chiming in from America. If they're watching this show, they realize how important hockey is to where we all live. And the Daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll is, and I'm just going to call it up here right now, does hockey culture have a problem? This is for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. On Twitter, 50% of you say no, it's a witch hunt. Can you put that up again, Clark? My eyes aren't good enough. So on Twitter, what a difference.
Yeah.
50% leading on Twitter say no, it's a witch hunt. 34% say yes, fix it. And 16% say don't know. Literally doesn't apply. They're not part of the hockey culture or have never been part of it. I didn't get to the Facebook results. So 52% say, yes, there's a problem. Fix it. 33% say no, it's a witch hunt, and 15% say don't know. So I guess it's the difference in the kind of people that are on each different platform.
Yeah, and it's kind of flipping, and that's how quickly it's moving.
And I put it up about 30 minutes ago, so you got 23 and a half hours to vote on that. But I'm getting it a lot. I don't like that Daniel Carcillo and Sean Avery are speaking out against hockey and against their coaches. But these are two problem guys in the first place. They really are. And Kelly Chase, good Saskatchewan guy, married a milestone girl, went after Carcillo on Twitter. And I'm just like, Chaser, don't. Because it's like arguing with a five-year-old. You're never gonna convince him. His mind is set. And they're causing a lot of problems. He's got the commissioner of the Western Hockey League now. I'm going to meet with him. And if there is a problem, then it needs to be addressed, for sure. But I was raised in the culture. I don't necessarily think that there is a problem with it. I don't. But we're sure getting a lot of talk about it. And starting the discussion is fine.
Yeah.
But we all, you know, all those years growing up in hockey, then working in the Western League for 17 years, now working in the SJHL as closely as I did with them, you always heard about that whack job coach. You always heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a tiny, minute one. There's bad people in every segment of society. So there's bad people in hockey. Guess what? There's bad people in ballet. There's bad people at the university. There's bad people on the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, to me, necessarily a hockey problem. That's me. And we're getting differentiating results from our polls this morning.
Yeah, and the bad people don't last. I mean, eventually,
no.
They don't win. They don't last. So, and we're seeing that now, too. It's very interesting. I don't know that it's a hockey problem. Hockey's the focus now, and clearly there's a problem within hockey. But it's not specific. It's not only hockey, that's for sure. So I don't know if this is when this ends. I really don't. But I know there's a lot of coaches looking over their backs. Brent Sutter, you know, has been taking a lot of heat on social media, but he's had a lot of players coming to his defense too. So it's really a polarizing issue.
It is. And going way back to Mike Babcock last week, I said, if you think Mike Babcock's the only guy playing mind games with players, you're sorely mistaken. I think this is a lot of people from outside the game looking in, taking bad examples, and making hockey look bad. And I just have a severe problem with that. There's been issues with teams that I've been around in sport that were addressed and dealt with at the time.
For sure.
Not lingering.
No.
Problems. So, interesting. Mike Lee checking in from Stillwater, Oklahoma this morning. Randy Nickel watching in Las Vegas. Bill down in Assiniboia. We got people want to talk about the SJHL trades. Their trade deadline was yesterday, and there was a litany of trades. I'll cover that in the sports update, so hang on. That's coming up. I'll just say this. We got a little bit of time left here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore and the Trent Dickin family. I saw that you had a very busy weekend.
Yeah.
I'll just quickly say, here's mine. I fell off the food wagon this weekend. Like when I was in Texas, I told you my doctor down there said I had to lose 30 pounds. And while it did hurt my feelings, I came back. I've lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks.
Wow.
The first 3 weeks. Hey, it's all up here. You can do it, folks. You can do it too. But then this weekend, we go for a family supper Friday to Greco's with the Greeks. Saturday night, my wife's Christmas party, which I told Leo Pentel, the head chef at the Conexus Art Center. I said, Leo, I've been everywhere. This is the greatest dessert display I've ever seen in my life. Anywhere. And I delved headfirst right in, but dove right on the table. And then yesterday went down to Famoso, the restaurant we used to own, and gorged myself on pizza down there. So, so it's starting again today. But the thing was, I was around family the whole time. And everywhere I went, people are asking me about this show, are you having as much fun as it looks? Are you doing okay financially? Yeah, that part's fine. But I'm around family.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
It's new for everybody, including my family. It reminds me of Thanksgiving Day weekend. You saw that photo that we put up with 30 people around a table.
Mm-hmm.
My family was looking at me going, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah.
You haven't been here for 30 years.
Right.
And they got used to it.
Now you're going to get them getting used
right.
to
and
being
people,
there.
And people are asking me, are you emceeing this sports dinner? Are you going to do this? And I'm like, no, I'm going to enjoy the Christmas holiday season, family party season. I've had to miss this for 30 years. Life's great.
Yeah.
So I continue to answer these questions. I hope at some point I won't have to answer them anymore.
Yeah.
But it was all family stuff. It was great stuff. And it was a great weekend. Now, having said that, you're the one out busting your ass.
Well,
all over the province.
Define that. I mean, I have a lot of fun. I mean, that's everything we do. You know, it's not work, right? We do it because we love it. So it was in, I was in Pambrun, Saskatchewan. Never been there. I'd been, like, it's just south of Swift Current, past Gravelburg, but I'd recently been to Pontiac. So I, the area is becoming more and more familiar, but this is kind of like ish the Bible Belt of the prairies.
Yep.
It's all the schools. It's Briarcrest and
For
it's
sure.
Miller College of the Bible. And so it's the college conference, which I'm not really familiar with, the Prairie Athletic Conference. So it was their volleyball championships. So that was kind of cool. Called the two gold medal games on television there. And they're paying, they've seen the show. So it's even reached that part of the province and that part of the country because they're into Alberta and Manitoba. So that was a lot of fun traveling. Roads weren't great, but it was. But I love traveling throughout the winter. And then yesterday, I'm helping coach an initiation hockey team as an assistant coach. And so we were in Rolo.
The home of John Lynch.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I didn't see him on the wall in the rink, unfortunately.
No, he never was in the rink.
But
he's
Keith
a football guy.
Keith Ollie's everywhere over that rink. You know that, right? And all the other stuff. Beautiful arena. And so in there, and as we saw in the pre-show and on Twitter, enjoying the food there, the rink burgers. My goodness. I mean,
it's pretty, by the way, it's pretty rare that you have a bad one in this province.
It is.
So well, I'm just going to put that out
and
there.
And that was it. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't wait for this game to be over because we play it early in the morning so I can go get a rink burger. So that was really cool. We talk about the food. Yeah, unbelievable. And then even on my way home, I had to make sure on Saturday from Pambrun, I had to make sure I stopped in Moose Jaw and got some ribs from the Mad Greek because those are always really good.
Well, good for you. That's a good. That's a good weekend.
That's awesome.
Actually, when I was in Moose Jaw last week, speaking to Peacock Collegiate, the high school football team, and then the grades 11s and 12s, as I was driving in downtown Moose Jaw, I'm staring longingly at Deja Vu, the wing place.
Yeah.
67 flavors of wings.
Wings and milkshakes.
At Deja Vu, I was like,
The red velvet milkshake is so good.
We should go get one.
Tastes like red velvet cake.
The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777, Prairie Mobile. They are your SaskTel authorized dealer. Tell them I sent you. Brady writes in from Saskatoon with a couple things. He says, hey, Rod, could you give your opinion on how the Habs have been playing and what they could improve on to get out of their winless streak, the longest it's been in 72 years? I'm going to ask that with Don Hewitt when he comes on, Brady, first and foremost. Wait for that. And he says, are the Oilers a serious contender for a playoff run in the West? Well, they are. Look, U.S. Thanksgiving, they say, is the cutoff, man. Now we're starting. The cream's separating. So listen, give me till January 1st. If the Oilers stay on this clip, and there's no reason to expect that they won't be. Yes, they will. But Mike Smith's hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
And they've called up Stuart Skinner. And we all saw what Skinner did with the Swift Current Broncos. Won him a league title in net. So, but he's not Mike Smith.
No.
So let's see what happens over the next month. And I will be more comfortable saying whether the Oilers are a legit playoff contender. But I would say the answer already is they're a playoff contender. They're going to be in. Are they a cup contender? They're posting pretty much a wire-to-wire lead right now. And we're into December.
Yeah.
So thank you for the Oilers question. We'll delve into that more later, and then Brady did give us some number 27s, as this is episode number 127. Do you know any offhand that you'd like to point out?
Yeah, Scott Niedermeyer.
That was a good one.
That
yep.
one popped
ding,
up
ding,
right
ding,
away.
Ding.
Eddie George. Was he not 27, right? Eddie George?
Wow,
I should
the
know
Titans?
That. I should know that, but I'm just, I don't want to, yeah. So Eddie
that's
George,
good.
That's a good one for me.
Okay, well, the very first one that popped into my mind was Jordan Eberle. It was the first number he wore with the Pats. He later switched it to 7. Glenn Suter.
Yeah.
Like, am I a Saskatchewan guy or what? Eberle and Suter are the first two guys I thought of with number 27. Ray Rice. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Semenko. Semenko.
Oh, yeah.
Oiler great. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Sr.
They both were.
That from Brady. Mike Trout. Jose Altuve.
Okay.
Giancarlo Stanton.
It's a good baseball number.
It's a great baseball number. So we'll take your number 20s. The Big M, Frank Mahovlich, Daryl Sittler, Alex Kovalev, who quite frankly is the most talented hockey player I've ever seen in my life. Alexei Kovalev.
Wasn't he good?
Made my mouth water watching him play live. So he played with Ottawa in a preseason game at the Brand Center. Oh. And I'm like, this guy is unbelievable. Did you want to try? You know how good you'd be if you'd just try?
I know.
You know? And by the way, there's my friend John Schmidt. He's the one that wrote in Alexei Kovalev. And Todd Pinckney, the record-setting kicker from the Rams. You see, I got my Rams jersey on here today, U of R Rams. He says Ron Hextall. 27, man. We could go on till midnight on that. Abu in the bunker next. On the way today, Jackie Mitchell, Ryder great linebacker. Dave Naylor from the CFL on TSN with the latest CFL goings-on. Just getting rolling. Thanks for joining us for a coffee this morning, Caliber Coffee. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Ottawa's Rachel Holman and Toronto's John Epping have secured berths in the Roar of the Rings Olympic Trials after capturing the Canada Cup Sunday in Leduc. Holman beat Tracy Fleury of East St. Paul, Manitoba 9-4 in the women's final. Epping down Calgary's Kevin Cooey 7-4 on the men's side. More on curling in a moment. Connor Robinson's second goal of the game was the winner as the Saskatchewan Rush held on for a 9-8 win over the Colorado Mammoth on Friday night. Get ready for this, dupes, okay? Robert Church had a hat trick and five assists for the Rush. It's 8 points.
He's back.
While Ryan Keenan had two goals and set up two more. Evan Kirk.
Make him work.
Made 34 saves for the win. We're going to get that going all year long.
Yeah, I know.
I'm getting a call from the Rush this morning. I'm buying season tickets in the Platinum section.
Ooh,
I can't wait.
Spicy.
I'm paying a lot of money, basically, for two jerseys. And because you get free jersey if you get season tickets. So call me. Last year's SJHL Rookie of the Year, Luke Spatafora, is headed back to the Humboldt Broncos. The Melville Millionaires dealt Spatafora for forward Zach McIntyre and forward Spencer Weinkopf yesterday on the trade deadline in the SJ. Weyburn added forward Dace Primack and defenseman Jordan Gagnon and sent out Ben Hiltz to the Battleford's North Stars. The rich get richer. Stars also dealt Brett Gammer to Prince George for Jackson Steele earlier this weekend. That's your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And again, the breaking news that we mentioned in the rollout for Flooring Superstore is I've heard Charleston Hughes has re-signed with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, which is a key piece, obviously. We welcome Mike Abou-Meshrick to the program. Hello, Abu.
Hey there.
Hi.
So great to be back.
It's great to have you here.
Isn't it a great day?
What's with all the purple? I've never seen. Is this Western Alumni Day or something, or what?
It's a color of the rainbow, and I have shirts of many colors of that rainbow, and today it was purple.
Looking sharp.
Thank you.
Got any breaking news for us? Anything? What's happening since last week when you went off?
God, everything's
you
happening.
You went off.
Everything's happening, but I was wondering why, for such a storied franchise as the Montreal Canadiens, and why they have a toilet seat for a logo. I don't
You as a Leaf fan are going to troll the Montreal Canadiens.
I don't understand it. Can we talk about that? I know we got some other issues to get into.
No, we can get into the Habs. I don't know. It's your show.
Go ahead. Kidding? Go ahead.
The thing about the Habs, I mean, they were so good early on in the year, right? They got off to that great start. They were getting so much depth scoring from all four lines. They were all rolling. But eventually, if you don't have that high-end talent or somebody who can really carry the load, like in Edmonton or, you know, Toronto's got some of that in the top six for sure. The dam's going to break eventually, and you just can't keep that pace up with your bottom six guys contributing as much as they did. So that's it. I think it's just time was catching up to them with the Habs, and now they're running into a lull, and there's nobody who you can just turn to in that locker room and say, I need you to just like carry this team for a week or two and get us out of this. They need to find some of that in their top.
And Carey Price has been bad too. I mean, I'm routinely asked, who's your favorite NHLer? And I generally say Carey Price because he's a Western guy and he's a dub guy, but even he was awful and got pulled last week with 5 goals and 11 shots in one game. And by the way, Abu, stop smirking. Like it.
Well, that's all nice and good, but like it's all there in the logo. Talk. It's all there in the logo. Toilet.
Toilet seat.
Toilet.
John, can you put up the comment from John Schmidt? Johnny the Hab fan, we found him on the what the problem with the Habs is, please, Clark. And here it is. Johnny Schmidt, who's a longtime buddy of mine, says the Habs' problem is their defense. Their left side of their defense is the weakest in the league. They need a left-handed defenseman very badly. Is it that hard to find him? And by the way, PK Subban, who's on his second team since, probably just smiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a canary.
Yeah.
Because he's out of there. Because they're all pointing the finger at him that he was the problem in Montreal.
Well, and it's funny. Yeah, that's so true. And then somebody suggested over the weekend, and I can't remember which columnist it was, but suggested, well, could Mike Babcock come into Montreal? And might that be something that would be a fit? When you've got a team that's in trouble like this, his that kind of harder style can turn things around. And, you know, when you for a short period of time, only problem is doesn't speak French, but he's got the ties to McGill. He's got the ties to Eastern Canada. And wouldn't that be something if he ended up in Montreal after being in Toronto?
Ian from Moose Jaw, one of our sponsors, Sask Snowbeef, writes in and says, when was the last time the Habs had a true superstar forward that could carry the team? Well, I love watching the Habs because I love a Brendan Gallagher. I love a Max Domi. You're not winning anything. I'm sorry. With guys like that. They work hard, and that's awesome.
You need them.
You need guys like
Kinsman
that.
Club, right?
Like the Kinsman Club, but they're nice guys. Yeah,
but they can.
And hardworking guys, they're not going to win.
If you're relying on those guys to be your superstars, they are stars in the league, but they're very good pieces, maybe as your, you know, in your top six, but not as your top 1-2. They're missing that 1-2 bona fide stars.
They're not talented enough, basically. Maybe they have not drafted well. I did not expect to go down the Montreal Canadiens road this morning, but I'm totally fine with that. But I will spend more time on it when Donnie Hewitt joins us later on in the program. Football. Abu, you're the fantasy guy. You live in a fantasy world. Week 13 in the NFL. When I just briefly mentioned the Patriots losing on Sunday Night Football last night, I saw the Facebook wall go nuts. They're like, Brady's done. He's over the hill. And maybe they are done. I don't know. They seem pretty frustrated up there in New England right now.
Did you hear that thing from Gronk last week? He was like, Brady, take it easy. You won the game.
Yeah, but he sees things coming. That's what makes Tom Tom.
And that's the thing. Scores the most points. But if you look at that... Excuse me, New England offense, they're not on the same page. It's and it's not last night you saw Tom Brady yelling at his young receivers. I mean, it's just as much Brady's fault as anyone else's. He was throwing some ducks to the other team.
Maybe the receiver was in the wrong spot. Why do you think he was yelling at the receivers?
Yeah.
That's not Tom.
No.
He was throwing some ducks, which made me believe they were not supposed to be the right spot.
Receiver went the wrong place, was I would suggest is more
likely
the case.
When you throw a tight
case.
Spiral to a spot, that's on purpose. When you throw a duck, I mean, it's something's up.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
But also, I'm not saying you're wrong, but there was some short passes that Tom was overthrowing guys, missing guys.
That's what I mean, yeah.
He sees it coming, though. And when he gets upset when there's wins, he's a guy, like you said, who can see these things, and he starts to see, hey... yeah, we won, but I can see this. This isn't sustainable here. We better fix this in a hurry, and they're not doing it on offense.
Can Tom Brady play within the system, or does he need to be Tom Brady? Because they got a sick defense.
Yep.
If he can turn around and hand the ball off, you know, 50 times a game.
They got to be able to control the clock.
I don't know if he still took his shots downfield. You know, he still wants to be Tom Brady. I'm not sure he can play into a toned down offense.
Well, when he was getting sacked and they weren't picking up the blitzers, he folded up like a lawn chair. I'm like, who is this guy? This is Tom Brady?
And
I mean, there's nothing he can do when he's got guys in his face that they're unaccounted for. You're just not used to seeing that with the New England Patriots.
And you could tell in his eyes that, you know, the first quarter when he was yelling at everyone, the third quarter he got sacked and his eyes were just, you know, on the sidelines. It's easy to get distracted from anything, but you can tell in a player's eyes what's going on, and his eyes weren't there. He was like, oh, okay, here we go again. That guy sucks, and this guy sucks, and no one's getting open. They can't even block for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Body language.
But at the same time, they're 10-2, and it's just fun to see the Patriots, who've had so much success over the years, you know, kind of falter and but they're still, I mean,
they're still 10-2.
And
at 10-2, we're sitting here being like, okay, they're not contenders anymore. Okay, they're in real trouble here at 10-2. They're going to get in. That's not a question. And they'll turn things around, but it's hard when Lamar Jackson and Baltimore's doing what they're doing. It's so much fun to watch beating the San Francisco 49ers. The thing I wonder about Lamar Jackson is how long. You know, what does he do next year and the year after? That's what I'm really interested in, because when you get the dual threat running quarterbacks, it just doesn't feel like there's a long shelf life for those guys. Like, they don't put together 5, 10, 15-year careers. So it'll be interesting to see how they manage Lamar Jackson and how his career develops.
Yeah, watching Lamar Jackson is just fun. I've never been a Ravens fan, but I was fine in that game. I was switching over to the other game when Ravens were on defense, but I want to watch that guy. He's that good. He's faster. Yeah. He's better than everybody else. He's got a sick arm, can throw it from however, man. He's a good running back. He's a great quarterback. But so is Cam Newton.
Yeah. Cam Newton.
You know, I got a Cam Newton t-shirt that's at the bottom of my shelf somewhere, because I thought he was going to be the guy for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing this thing everywhere.
So falling out of favor,
it's
big
so
time.
So true.
And but you get hurt. You get hit. I carried the ball. I played football 20 years. I carried the ball one time in high school. And to this day, I do not comprehend why a running back likes this game. It's stupid. They get face masks and helmets in everywhere. And not one a play, 6 or 8 a play, at least 2 a play, you know? There's 70 play.
I heard a stat that every time you carry the ball, ball carrier gets hit 5 times on average. Five times.
One of them is like a car accident. I mean, that's 5 of them. I mean, it's just, I mean, let me run full speed with my face mask into your ribs and feel like, oh, don't worry. You get to put on a little thin piece of plastic. It's okay. No.
Isn't it interesting what you just said about you're trying to find the Ravens game on television to watch Lamar Jackson, the star quarterback for the Ravens? Does not tell everybody that the players are the thing.
They are.
It's not the halftime panel. It's not the glitzy stadium. It's not the cheerleaders. It's the players.
My son's 10.
Sounds very elementary, but it's not that elementary.
No, and it's so true. And you think about it. The halftime panels, because I love that stuff. I mean, that's what we do, right? The pregame shows, the halftimes. But in all of that, and the reason those are so good is because the whole time, they're talking about the players, and they're giving you more insight to the players, and that's how you build this league and you build sports.
And it's interactive. That's why I think people like this show, is because, you know, it's interactive. Now it's all just shots of the Leafs sucking, but we all know that.
Boy, did I touch off something there with the Habs talk and the Leafs talk. Maybe we've got something here. Can I just address one more? And John, stop trolling after I read this. It's funny, but I don't want Abu's feelings hurt. Johnny Schmidt, the Habs fan, says, Abu, you're what, 50? And you haven't seen the Leafs win a cup in your lifetime.
We're number 67 for a reason. I know that. You're telling me the Leafs haven't won in 52 years. Oh, really?
I thought you'd be more offended that he said you're 50.
Me? Oh, that's
good. Yeah, exactly. What are we focusing on here?
He's in his early 40s, John.
Oh, I thought he meant like 50, like 50 out of 50, like a 10 out of 10.
Oh,
like,
that's like not what he means.
Oh, I don't know. No. People can mean different things. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the NFL.
See, it changes
My son's 10, and we were talking last week about CFL or NFL. Yeah. He didn't finish watching the Grey Cup because he wanted to watch the Green Bay Packers. Why? Because he has Aaron Rodgers and Devonta Adams in the fantasy football pool that we do with our family. That's why the NFL is it's making people want to watch the games. I don't care who wins. Last night I turned the game off at halftime because Watson scored enough points and I won my fantasy games and I watched The Mandalorian. Great show, by the way.
Is it?
If you're a Star Wars nerd. I can't tell you about it because anytime you talk about sci-fi, it sounds stupid. So this little gremlin thing.
At our age, yes. Yeah, but I get you. When you bring it up,
it's really good. I just turned the TV off. It's over. My son didn't watch the Grey Cup. That's what pays for his every football play.
And his dad played in the league. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he switched over to NFL because gambling.
But
your 10-year-old son's a big gambler.
But that's a part of it. It's everything. It's the gambling. It's the players. It's all of those things. And it's
still
one of the
comes
things
back
that's
to players though.
Wrong with the CFL, or that's not wrong, but missing is I can sit here in the NFL and I can watch 10 snaps of football, if that. Right, I can tune in, whatever. But I know everything that's happened in the week. I know all the storylines. I've seen all the big plays. I know all the players. I know their stat lines because whether it's I follow on fantasy or I'm on Twitter or I'm on Facebook or I just watch the news, doesn't matter. And there's so many different sources giving you all the information. If we don't watch the CFL games, then we have no idea what's happened. We don't know who the players are, and you're really lost. So that's a big thing with the NFL is even when you're not watching the games, you still know everything and you know all the players.
You know where to get your – we talk about this every year. You know where to get your information. NFL, you wake up. What are you doing on Sunday? What game are you watching?
It's
I don't care.
It's in your face.
The Titans are playing. Who are they playing? I don't know. They're playing, though.
Yeah.
Well, the CFL is getting there with their Friday and Saturday
Absolutely.
Games.
Absolutely.
They're getting there.
They did a great job. That's what I was saying. They did a great job this year of putting the games where I knew they would be.
Yeah. I feel like I got to do more studying up on the Montreal Canadiens. Cowabunga with reaction from people here. Jason Fichter from the Ryder Pryder fan page writing in. He says, the BC Lions to make a major football operations announcement at 12 p.m. today inside the TELUS Media Center in Vancouver. So is that 12 p.m. Pacific, I would assume, which makes it 2 p.m. our time. We're going to talk some CFL when we come back. Jackie Mitchell will join us, Ryder, great linebacker from Southern. And what could this Lions news be? We'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday morning, episode 127 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, suck it in.
Monday morning.
How much does the camera add?
Yeah, no kidding. Woo. Those 9 pounds came back in a hurry. We are waiting on Jackie Mitchell joining us. Winston-Salem, North Carolina product, 7 seasons with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which quite frankly to me seems like yesterday. I'm not joking. 2000 to 2006. CFL All-Star. He was All-Canadian and a West Division All-Star. He was there right through the Shivers Barrett regime, right on the letter, right on the year, 2000 to 2006. Wow. Jackie Mitchell will join us. I want to thank Jason Fichter from the Rider Prider fan page, who has informed us of the BC Lions news conference at noon. Still working on whether that's noon Pacific or noon our time. I assume it's noon Pacific, which would be 2 p.m. here. Jason says the Lions are expected to name Rick Campbell as the new head coach today. Jason got that from Rick Dhaliwal. Friend of the program?
Yep.
So I guess the dominoes are boo. Let's get into the CFL talk here. Starting to fall with Rick going to BC. Now, that had been rumored. I'm not sure I totally saw that coming because I really thought it was a slam dunk that he would go to Edmonton, where his dad's a legend.
Yeah, maybe that's what kept him away from Edmonton, or maybe they didn't want to pay him enough, but who knows? Yeah, that, you know... I mean, as a parent or as the kid, I mean, you don't want to cast too big of a shadow and you don't want to live in that shadow. So, and BC's got some pieces in place of the roster there too. But I think it's good. What we joked about before we found out it was Rick Campbell, allegedly, was that we said, oh, what, is Wally coming back?
Yeah.
Because they need a personality like that in a bigger center, pinball in Toronto. Maybe you need a bigger personality that's willing to you know, muscle their way into the community, the social events there.
We had BC picked to win a lot of games last year.
Yeah, I did.
We really did.
I think I had them third.
Some people even had them to host a home playoff game in their predictions. So here's a team who's got enough pieces that, you know, a lot of people believe is ready to win. And so I think it's so key that they get a coach with some experience. And Rick Campbell's got that experience. He's got some winning pedigree from his time in Ottawa. So they bring in a coach now who's ready to win, too, and has been there before. I think that's a big positive. And clearly, he wasn't on the same page with Marcel Desjardins. We know that in Ottawa. That's why he left. He wanted certain pieces. They had philosophical differences. So you know in the interview process with Ed Hervey that was addressed. And so they must be on the same page if he's going to go to BC. And I also believe that this comes down to the timing of, you know, the move with Devone Claybrooks. And they got out in front. They got a 3-week head start over the Edmonton Eskimos when it came to courting Rick Campbell, because the whole time they were able to court him, Jason Moss was still employed by the Eskimos. So you had a head start, and perhaps that's what paid off.
And you know, when we were talking about BC when they went on their 0-4 run at the beginning of the season, they're like, what's going to change? What's going to change? Do we fire the head coach? I mean, if you got a rookie head coach, you got rookie assistants, you got rookie everything. It's pretty obvious to know where your holes are. Is that it wasn't the players necessarily, it was the coaching staff, the lack of leadership. There's nothing against that. When you're a first year head coach, you need to surround yourself with people that will lead you. You can't be threatened by guys. You don't want to get guys that are younger than you because you want to be the leader and be the loudest dog in the room.
All those younger guys, they're all looking up to you. Like when things go south, which they did, they looked at Devone and say, what do we do? And Devone says, I've never been here before.
Hang on. Let me go talk to Dickie. Let me go talk to Huff. Let me see. No, that's not happening. So, you know, for on BC side of the equation, it's they needed a strong person. They needed a CFL person. They can go out and grab someone new to kind of navigate their way. Rick knows what he's doing. He has the he has a blueprint for what he likes to do and what he doesn't like to do. And although I've never been led by him, I understand he's a really good leader, and that's what this organization needs.
Let me interject one thing. And John Meisner, watching in Salem, Oregon, I'm going to get to your comment about the NFL Sunday yesterday because it's a good one. Two things. One, I did hear that the Argos coaching staff would be was told that they would know their fate prior to Christmas. And actually, it was an early December date. And I think with Mike O'Shea coming out on Friday saying there's the chances are high that he'll go back to Winnipeg, that in turn means Corey Chamberlain will stay in Toronto and all those coaches can have a holly jolly Christmas full of candies and nuts and not lumps of coal.
I'm really surprised O'Shea didn't come out and say, I really want to go to Toronto, but I'll maybe if I go back to Winnipeg, that'll be okay too. That's not what people say. They say, I'm very happy. So how are you and
what's
your wife?
Taking
how are
so
you and
long?
Your wife? Oh, we're very happy. We love each other very much. Oh, we never knew you were going to get.
So no. Argo
People
coaches
come out
told
and say life's perfect.
Argo coaches have been given a date as to when they'll have their future dictated or told to them. Will today's news in BC with Rick Campbell have anything to do with that? Probably not. But Wayne in Victoria, BC, is watching, and he wants you to clarify something that I would like you to clarify. He says, Abu, maybe Rick Campbell isn't a personality, but he's a winner. Are you saying that he's a dynamic personality, Rick Campbell? Because I've never seen him as a dynamic personality. What I have seen is that he knows the game inside out. He's a great coach, and the players will walk through fire for him. But he's not the most quotable guy. So are you saying he's a personality that can sell the game in BC or not?
Everyone has a personality.
No, you know what I mean. No, they actually don't.
Listen,
have you met most accountants?
They have accountant personalities.
Yes.
Vanilla. And apologies to my accountant, Chris. You're a very electric accountant who's listening right now. I know that.
You are a personality. You walk into the front of a football locker room and start talking to me, I'm not taking you seriously. Rick Campbell is a football personality, and I don't need to. I'm embarrassed that I'm explaining this. He walks into the front of the room. He can do whatever. I'm listening. He's got jury. Yep. Is that a better word instead of personality?
Yeah. So it's not about a person needing a personality to sell football in the market.
Is what he's saying.
It's about a personality in the room, a commanding, respected personality that can help win games.
Yeah. Whatever word.
That's
you
what they
use.
Have with
he's,
him.
He is an individual of average height and average build. Don't want to offend anybody.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree with you. He's a monotone talker. And I love him, by the way. Rick's been great to us. He's been on this show. But his questions very regularly are, this week we're playing a team that's very well coached. We're going to have to mind our P's and Q's. We're going to have to play mistake-free football because they're a well-coached team.
Yeah. We're not looking for him to be a radio personality. We want him to
Some teams are. Some teams are.
Well, he needs to be a football coach that's going to get that.
But do you see the difference between what we're talking about here?
I don't know.
You're saying it's not important that you're a good interview. It's important that you win is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll do that. I think he'll do that in BC for sure. I think he'll win football games. And instantly, BC comes right back on my radar as a team to watch next season. If it's Rick Campbell, it's the head coach.
Yeah, sure. Let's get some offense and defensive lines and all that other stuff to go
with. If you have a choice, let's just say that Rick Campbell had the choice between Edmonton and BC. We don't know that that's the case. Maybe it's not at all. But do you not think Edmonton's a little further ahead talent-wise than BC?
Yeah.
And a little more stabilized roster?
Do you want the pig or the lipstick? You got to have some good makeup, right? Because that's what goes on the pig, and that's what BC does.
I want a pig that doesn't have to wear makeup.
They got a good offense and defense.
Don't we all?
And
right.
And the pig is the trenches. The pigs are very much the pigs, you know? BC needs some help, but they got all the other dressings. They got the receivers. They got the quarterbacks.
No, I'm going to say this. You're a free agent coach. And if you had an opportunity in either BC or Edmonton, which team would you take?
You want me to say it's easier to find linemen, but I'm not going to say that.
No.
I want
you to say who's the more Grey Cup contending team out of the Eskimos or the Lions. That's what I want you to pick because I think it's Edmonton.
Yes, I agree. They got more. Right, but BC isn't too far behind.
No, you're right.
They just need, like, this, like, 2 years. Well, anyone can win in 2 years.
Well, I agree, though. I'm with you. Like, today, it's probably Edmonton. But and offensive, defensive linemen, they're not that easy to come by. But if BC was able to make a move and shore up that offensive, you know, the two lines, then I think they could get ahead of Edmonton pretty quickly. But that's not an easy task. Free agency will be very interesting and very important.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Trevor Harris fan either.
Oh, that's
just
true.
Because
I will give you this credit as a guy that might know a thing or two. You predicted the Eskimos implosion literally right on cue.
Although he was really nice to my son, so that's why I'm having difficulty. I might have a new favorite quarterback instead of a. Yeah.
Fair enough. You can be bought.
I just don't like his, or at least his style of play.
Calum can. So we're going to go to the phone lines today, Darren, and we've got Jackie Mitchell joining us, 7 seasons with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, CFL All-Star from 2000 to 2006, played his college football at Southern University, and he joins us today. Jackie, how are you?
You're doing great, Brian. How's everything going, man?
It's going okay. I wish we could actually see you versus listen to you, but I understand the connection was bad video-wise. Where are you joining us from today, Jackie?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Hey, okay, we need to talk later. Maybe we need Jackie coming on our program.
I think so. Yeah, Jackie, we're going to be in Houston. We're coming Thursday and stay until Tuesday with a bunch of our listeners, so you're going to have to make some time if you can.
Jackie, seven seasons with the Saskatchewan Roughriders was a great time around here. Can you talk about that? When you think about your time with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
First thing that comes to mind is just opportunity, great team, great camaraderie, really somewhat revolutionary for the culture that changed within Saskatchewan with the team that was brought in and the players and the caliber of talent that we had at the time.
Well, you know, we talk about the guys that came over from Calgary, and there were a lot. Henry Burris, Eddie Davis, Ray Jacobs, a long list. But you weren't a guy that came over from Calgary. As far as I knew, you were a raw rookie, fined by Roy Shivers in 2000. What made you want to sign with the Saskatchewan Roughriders back then?
Well, honestly, I came in the league with Edmonton, and I was actually a starter in Edmonton, and I got hurt in the preseason against Saskatchewan. When I became healthy, I can't remember Ralph's last name. He was a TFL All-Star for Edmonton. He was in the lineup. They allowed him to stay. I called Roy. Roy went back and watched the film on me, honestly, and I had a great game against Saskatchewan prior to me getting injured. And that's how I got to Saskatchewan, and everything else kind of played itself out.
So how much have you been following the Rough Riders, Jackie, since you left after that 2006 season and saw that they went on to appear in 4 Grey Cups, winning 2? Have you been able to follow them closely?
Yeah, follow them closely. I've worked 2 of the workouts, honestly, in Dallas when Jeremy O'Day and Chris was the coach. So I communicate with a few of the guys still up there, Kennedy McKeeson. I've spoken to Andrew a few times. So I followed them. Honestly, the night they won the Grey Cup, Richie Hall, Corey Holmes, and Eddie Davis called me, and they was like, man, you should be a part of this. But, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't. But just wished them well, congratulated them, and it was a success. And I'm just glad to be a part of the building block they were there.
So that was my next question. I mean, so many guys of that era, great football players that weren't around for 2007. I'm glad you do say that, Jackie, and you do feel that. I mean, when did you realize that your efforts did pay off with those guys being champions?
Well, I think the biggest thing is for the position that I played, it was the hardest position on the defense. We made all the checks. We were spacing the first or second best receiver, so all contributions paid to it, but I also knew due to some things that happened in my life at that time, it was time for me to move away from the game. I experienced the loss of a child. I was certain I was in a state of depression at that time, and I just didn't want to play football anymore. So after that season, I went to Tillman. I asked to be released, but still knowing that I was a pillar of that, because for the things that we contributed as players, for the things we contributed as a family, it was this, you know you're a part of that. You may not reap the rewards of it, but hey, the people who I played with still was able to be successful. All of us are now doing great in life, and that's what it's really about.
Did you have a question, Abu? You had your finger in the air.
No, I was. You did more than revolutionize the team. He revolutionized that that position in the CFL. It was technically a linebacker position that always ended up, you know, going out and covering the number one, but usually the number two receiver on the team. And a lot of guys now in today's game, they sub out someone, they sub in and they sub out to do that. But Jackie did both. Having played a lot against him, he was the guy that we had to watch that dictated the rest of the defense. Now again, today's game, guys go in and out of the lineup. Jackie wasn't scared to. Not only was he not scared to put his head into the box, but he did it and he loved it. And it was probably the best linebacking trio that it played against. Off of the top of my head.
I mean, I thank you for that. I greatly appreciate that, because you never know that until the time is up. So thank you for that.
Good. Anything, Darren? No, you're good. What is a couple things I have for you, Jackie? Your battles with Jason Claremont come to mind, too, in those West finals and West semifinals. Was there a guy that you just love matching up against? I mean, your collisions are still shown on highlights, by the way, up here, all come playoff time. I mean, what do you remember about playing against 82 for the BC Lions?
I mean, it was, as you stated, I don't know what it was. I think it was a Jason being from, the Saskatchewan area, hey, going to Vancouver. It was just always a great battle. It was never any trash talking. It was just clean, honest competition, and I loved it, and I think he did as well. And it was just not only Jason, but Milt Stegall, the Giro Simons, the Terry Vaughns, the gentleman they had at Hamilton at one time, Mike. It was just so many guys that you face week in, week out. But yes, the Vancouver, of course, the Banjo Bowl with the Winnipeg, and facing Edmonton. With the now, I think he's a GM with Ed. It was just one of those things that I took pride in it. I wanted to be the best at that position, and it was just something that I appreciated for the opportunity. And it'll always be something that you can take with you. But the competition level was different back then. It was completely different than today. Unfortunately, times change. Players get bigger. Players get faster. And systems, as long as they're in place, they'll still work. But I really enjoy it.
How or why has the game of football changed, Jackie, from that era?
Well, I think it attributes to size and speed, Rod. One of the things that I believed in is off-season training. So one of the things that I think that's happening, when I lived in Saskatchewan year-round, I couldn't receive the training that I needed to build my body and to stay healthy. So guys are bigger now. They're faster. When I was growing up, you may have had three big kids in the whole school. Now all kids are 6'3", 6'2", 6'1". They're fast. They're physical. But in a lot of cases, they're not tough. So it's unfortunate. Some of them don't do the necessary things to prepare themselves, but systematically, football is football. It's 100 yards, 120 yards, however you look at it. You're going to run, you're going to tackle. It's just about that one person wanting to beat that other person across for them, and it's going to be a man-on-man. And who's the best person? Schematics, you can always run. You're going to always have a period after, no matter what side of the ball. But for the most part, individual athlete that's big, faster, and so much stronger than we were.
Jackie, the Facebook wall has lit up with folks that remember you or friends of yours. Todd Pinckney has written in. He says, tell Jackie hi. Neighbors, while you played here, always had great talks after Rider games. I'll just lastly ask you this, Jackie. What's up in your life now? How are things in the world of Jackie Mitchell?
Things are good. I have no complaints. I've been take care of myself. I'm currently working as a consultant with a group. I have a financial business. I have a prep school that I run. I'm just enjoying day-to-day activities, you know, have four kids now. Just really allowing the time to be enjoyable, to be something that I can really put myself in position for later, because, you know, a little older, but still healthy, no complaints, and just really just enjoying every day as it comes, man, no pressure, no negativity, and just trying to be the best Jackie I can be.
Good for you, Jackie. Well, I'll use your term, a pillar of rider history, because it's true, and we're coming to Houston on Thursday, so we'll get your contact info from our producer, Clark, and maybe we can be in touch, Jackie, but appreciate your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, and great job.
Jackie Mitchell checking in from Houston, Texas today. Chris Cooper watching from Southern Ontario today says, I love listening to your interviews with past rider greats. Thank you, Chris. I love doing them. And as you listen to Jackie Mitchell there, it reminds me of the former Raptors coach who's now a TSN analyst, Sam Mitchell, because they talk exactly the same.
You know
and
what?
When Sam Mitchell was coaching the Raptors, I'm like, there's somebody that he reminds me of. It's Jackie Mitchell.
I was thinking Ken Miller, because he does every word.
It's well thought out.
Is the word.
Well, that quote.
The opposite of how I speak.
That quote of Sam Mitchell's. We have guys that had a stat line of 0-0-0. Didn't that sound like Jackie Mitchell?
Yes. You have that kind of that feeling, and you're kind of like, wait a second. I've heard this before. This is so familiar, but I just can't put my tongue on it. You just did. It's Sam Mitchell. Yeah, that's awesome.
0-0-0. So, again, breaking what?
That's good.
Breaking news this morning that the BC Lions have called a news conference for noon, and Rick Dhaliwal of TSN Radio Winnipeg, friend of this show, reporting that Rick Campbell will be the next head coach of the BC Lions. Wow. That's interesting.
Is Jackie in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not, but he should be.
He
absolutely should be.
He was the guy. A lot of props goes to Reggie Hunt, and he was a beast. But playing against Saskatchewan, if you wanted to know what was going on in that crazy Richie Hall defense, you just look to where Jackie was, and then that'll tell you what's up. That'll tell you the whole defense. I mean, you know, there was Nate and Scott and you know, Fred and all those guys, but Jackie was the key.
How did you feel, by the way, at Richie Hall winning the Grey Cup? You were on the field when he came running down at McMahon. Well, I'm asking you how you felt. I saw your photos. I want to know how you felt.
Well, I shared in his tears. I saw him. I love love. I love feelings. I love things like that. It was great to see him. I didn't know that he had just lost a parent a few months before.
Brother.
I didn't know that so much was behind it, but it was great just to see him, you know, riddled with emotions. Mm-hmm. It was love. I mean,
it was.
Yeah. Once you love somebody, you love them. You just share, you know, it was great.
And I think you're going to film downstairs after this. So I just want to ask you one thing. This is very Winnipeg-ish. Don't at me for saying this.
Uh-oh.
They wait 28 years for a parade in Winnipeg. And they bitch about the time of it because it wasn't good for everybody.
The influence
Friday night
Saskatchewan has on it.
Right.
That's not
Winnipeg. That's something we would do.
That's very Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's ours.
Nothing, that's not Winnipeg-ish.
No, bitching is our thing.
Winnipeg-ish would be, let's have the Grey Cup parade with the Santa Claus parade in 3 weeks.
Right.
Save money.
The coupon
that's
capital.
Because the coupon capital.
Because Friday, and then Friday night, they have a social, which we here would call a cabaret, and they charge $25 to get in, drink with all the bombers, and people are mad they had to pay $25. Is that Winnipeg-ish?
No, that's Saskatchewan-ish. It's brilliant, if you ask me.
Stealing our ideas.
But that's not a...
That's awesome.
Letting people in for free would be Winnipeg-ish and be like, oh my goodness, we could have raised money for the homeless or.
Okay. Or I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I was listening to the show last week, right? I think you're getting the country's lines.
I'm getting the border blurred.
Yeah. And why do you want to talk about the Montreal Canadiens? That's like two countries away.
I know, but apparently our viewers do.
It's hot.
It's hot, baby.
Canada.
It's hot, hot, hot.
Yeah,
we're coming back with Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show, Episode 127 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale.
sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.